Just like Elijah prayed that his armor bearer's eyes would be opened, Lord, his servant's eyes, and he opened it and he saw chariots of fire surrounding them. And we know, Lord, that greater is he around us and in us than he that is in the world, Father. And we thank you that we can celebrate Missions Month. We thank you we can look into your word in a free country today, Lord. And we pray that you would just speak to us through your word today. Help us not just to hear your word, but look to put these things into practice day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, surprise, I'm here today. I understand I'm a late minute, kind of a last minute fill-in. I don't know if that's good news or bad news for you today, but today we're going to talk about good news. How many of you guys could use some good news, right? We could all use some good news. This world is filled with bad news. My wife will not let me watch TV with the news with her in the room. Or she won't let us, because you know, I like to comment. It's not just news, it's news and commentary with Bob about everything. So I see a news article going, rah, 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 rah. She says, stop, get out of the room, let me just watch the news on my own. Any of you guys comment on the news, like when you're watching the news? Nobody? Am I the only one? Oh, I'm the oddball out. Okay, anyway, so we can all use some good news. The other day, I came from one of the campuses. I stopped by Florida Christian School real quick, and I was running around. My wife actually fell about a month and a half ago, broke both ankles. Now, that's not good news. That's bad news, right? So anyway, she's at the doctor. Same day, the day before, she actually chipped a tooth. And she had to get the tooth taken out, all kind of crazy stuff happening. And so I had to run in Florida Christian School to meet with the headmaster about something. And school just got out when I was leaving. And there's cars everywhere. And so I'm trying to come out the exit. And there's a whole lot of cars in front of me. And I realize as I'm pulling out, I have to pick my wife up at the doctor's at a certain time. And I realize that I come out. And the gate, I came out the gate, it was still going back and forth. It wasn't like stuck open when the school day ends. It was going back and forth when you put your card there. And I got about three quarters of the way out, and I'm like, the gate's going to close on my car because there's cars right in front of me. So I kind of move up, and this car in front of me moves forward to give me enough room to come out, just enough on either side. And so I'm like trying to sneak out because I can't really see what's around here and around here because these cars are in my way. So I'm like inching out, and I'm looking and looking, and I'm looking to my left. All of a sudden, it hits bang on my car, and I'm like, oh, no, and I'm thinking I must have just gradually inched out far enough to hit the Tesla that had just pulled forward in front of me, and I'm going like, how did that happen? You know, maybe just rushed and got all this stuff went through my head. So I get out, and I start like apologizing to the guy. I'm like, hey, man, sorry I hit your car, blah, blah, blah. I'll take care of it. Let me know what it is. You know, if it's a lot, we'll file insurance. But if not, I'll just pay, blah, 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 blah. I'm going like, this is just another headache I just don't need in my life, right? So we spend some time together, and he is not like saying anything like that contradicts my thinking that I hit him. So go through the whole process. We exchange information. As I'm walking, getting back in my car, the security guard says, you know, he hit you. You didn't hit him. He backed into you. And I'm like, oh, we have video on this. So the next day, I go into the security thing. And I said, you need to pull up the video, blah, 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 blah. And I tell him the time and everything. And sure enough, we got it right there on video. And I'm watching. And here, this guy did pull forward. I inched up a little bit, but stopped. And this guy had picked up his daughter from school. She had come out to the car. And he was actually pulling back to go out around. I didn't see that because I was just looking to the left, right? Boom. Good news. Man, that was great news. I'm like, yes, he hit me. This is great news. Hallelujah. And so it all worked out and everything. But, you know, we have that good news. And all of a sudden, you know, we have bad news. And then all of a sudden, good news. This was kind of like a day of good news for me. And we're going to look at a day of good news in the scripture. You know, can you guys see that okay? Can you guys in the back see that okay? If you can't, move up. All right? I think next time I come, I'm just going to make it really small print. So you all have to come up front here. Anyway, just saying. Anyway, good news is throughout scripture. You know, anybody who tells you that the Bible is boring has never really read the Bible.
Now, I know some parts can get a little, you know, Abraham begot and all that kind of stuff. I get that kind of stuff. But if you want to get to some exciting stuff, you need to read like 1st and 2nd Kings, because it's an amazing narrative. Now, today we're going to pick it up in about 900 BC. That's the time of Elisha. Elisha was around. Elijah came before him. And so now we're up to Elisha. So we're going to read some of the story. And today I got no pictures, no funny stories. I got a lot of scripture. In fact, the guys in the back, they looked at my slides and they go, that's a lot of words. So what I'm going to do is through each slide, rather than read all the slides, and then go back and explain. We're going to just walk through this together. All right, so can you read that? There it is right there. Okay, 900 BC, afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered an entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver, and 1/4 of a cab of dog's dung sold for 5 shekels of silver. Now, this besieging, you know, there's various ways to take a city, to conquer somebody. And the walls of Samaria, which is in the northern kingdom of Israel, was a walled city. And so Samaria, which is off to the east, was going, Assyria, which was going into Samaria to try to take it over, they wanted to conquer this city. So rather than go up against them with their thousands of troops and just kind of beat down the walls and fighting, going back day after day after day, they decided to just besiege the city, which means you encamp around the city and nothing comes in and nothing goes out. Now, we had some issues, you know, with COVID and supply issues with various countries and this and the other thing. This siege lasted for 3 years. 3 years, nothing was coming in and nothing was going out. And you can imagine after 3 years, things get a little desperate. And they got pretty desperate right here. And it says there's a great famine, and they besieged it, and a donkey's head. Now, I want to let you know, anything about donkeys, that's like an unclean animal in the Jewish religion. It's like, you don't go eat donkeys. You know, it's like you may eat other things, but not donkeys, right? And it says a donkey's head, and we won't get into the whole how much is a shekel in this or anything. I'll let you know, a donkey's head sold for a lot of money. Now, they're not talking about the whole donkey. They're just talking about the donkey's head. So we have an unclean animal and the head of a donkey, something that would be detestable, sold for hundreds of dollars, even if you had that kind of money. And it says that a 1/4 cab of dove's dung sold for 5 shekels of silver. What does that mean? If you look in your translation, it may say seed pods. Well, if you have a siege, the only animal that can really escape the siege and come back would be a bird, right? Because they can just fly over, you know, and fly back. Well, what these birds would do, doves and other animal birds, they would fly away, go to some nice tree with nice berries, eat the berries, fly back to their home on the city walls and stuff like that. And of course, they would relieve themselves of the waste product from the berry, which had little seeds in it. The seeds that weren't digestible would be kind of let out by the birds. People would collect that, and like a half a pint, like one of those little half-pint milk cartons, would sell for like $20. People would pick through and eat dove's dung. That's how desperate things were. Really, really, really bad. People were starving. But things get worse. Things get worse, and it says, now, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help me, Lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? Basically, he's saying like, I can't help you. If God's not showing up, if he can't help you, how do you expect me to help you? And he said this, from the threshing floor, from the wine press, there's nothing. We got no grapes. We got no wheat. We have nothing. Things are completely desolate here. And he said to her, what is your trouble? And she answered, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And the next day I said, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. And when the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath his body. Things were not only desperate physically, they were desperate spiritually. They were eating their own children. That's how bad things were. Now, I don't know about you, parents, if you had a choice between sacrificing your life for your children or having them sacrifice their life for you, hands down, I'd be like, you know, eat me. You know, whatever it is, kill me, not my children. So things weren't only bad physically, they were bad spiritually. And I think if we even look at our world today, with abortion and all the crazy stuff going on, we're not eating our children, but we're certainly sacrificing our children. So I want to look at some of the parallels today, too, between us and back then. So things were terrible. People were eating their own children. Desperate. There was no food. And the king couldn't do anything about it. And he was in sackcloth. You know, that cloth of mourning, that cloth of repentance that you would put on to show that. So things were desperate. You know, we live in a desperate world. We may not seem like we live in a desperate world, but you know what? And we cover it with money and all this kind of stuff, but we're in desperate times here in our world. Things are bad. Of course, back then, what did they do? They always blamed the prophet. Now, Elisha came after Elijah. Does anyone remember who the king and queen were during Elijah's time? Correct, right, Ahab and Jezebel. So the king is actually Ahab and Jezebel's son, Jehoram. All right, so he wasn't as bad as them, but kind of the same idea. He didn't have this great relationship with the prophets. You know, David, when Samuel came the prophet, he was always open to hear. He didn't necessarily like what the prophet brought forward, but he took the word of the prophet as the word from God and acted upon it. But this is what this king said. He says this, and he said, "May God do something, do so to me and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphath, remains on his shoulders today." Elijah was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And now the king had dispatched a man from his presence, but before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Do you not see how this murderer has sent to take off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold the door fast against him. Is not the sound of the messenger's feet behind him?" And while he was still speaking with them, the messenger came down to him and said, "This trouble is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" So Elisha, bringing in close touch with God, he knew God spoke to him and said, "Hey, you know, this is not really good. You guys need to be careful. Be careful, Elijah." And this guy comes in, the messenger from the king, a captain, and he came there not just to say, "Hey, man, you know, what's happening? You know, can't your God turn this around? Why are you cursing us? What's going on?" Again, blaming the prophet. He came there to take off his head. He came to kill him. And you guys have people come to the door you don't want to answer the door for? You know, my mom, when we were growing up, whenever the Jehovah's Witnesses would come around, you ever have the Jehovah's Witnesses come around, you know, knock on the door and stuff like that? You know, my mom, we'd be out playing as kids. You know, my mom would be like, when the Jehovah's Witnesses were in the neighborhood, I think all the moms would call each other, "Get the kids in the Jehovah's Witnesses room." And sure enough, they come knocking on our ding dong. The dog would go crazy, woof, woof, woof. And we'd be like, "Okay, no, quiet. It would be almost like high below the window level, you know. Ding dong, woof, 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 woof. Wait, wait, wait. Okay, they're gone. You know, it's like, okay, they're gone. They're down the street. Okay, kids, you can go back out and play and this and the other thing. Because we didn't want to, you know, be hassle. You know, what are you going to say? Blah, 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 blah. This was nothing like that. This was way over the top. This guy was coming to take his head off. Isn't that what the world tends to do when things go bad? They don't really look at themselves, they blame others. You know, sometimes they blame the Christians. You know, "Oh, look at the church people. They're so judgmental, they're so this, they're so that, they're so the other thing." Always blame the prophet. That's what they did back then. But the things to come, this is what Elisha said. He said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley, for about a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Then the captain, whose hand the king leaned on, said to the man of God, "If the Lord himself shall make the windows of heaven, could this thing be?" But he said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." So this man, this captain, the guy who came over to take Elisha's head off, Elisha shares with him, he says, go tell the king that tomorrow things are going to radically change. Flour and barley is going to almost be sold for like nothing. Where things that were useless, dove's dung and a donkey's head, unclean things, we're selling for hundreds of dollars. Here, flour that was expensive was going to almost be given away. And Elisha tells him also, he says this, "But you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." We'll look at that later on and exactly what that means. But things to come, Elijah speaks out prophetically and shares this. So we know that Israel's in a bad time. People are starving in the city of Samaria. Well, what's going to happen? The lepers. Lepers. It was a bad time to be a leper. It was a bad time to be a person living in Samaria, but it was a really bad time to be a leper. Let's read, and it says, "And now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter in the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians, and if they spare our lives, we shall live, and if they kill us, we were going to die anyway.'" Right? So they were lepers. Leprosy was a terrible disease. It affected the nervous system. It created sores on your body. And in fact, the sores were caused by the fact that the areas in your body no longer, the nerve endings were having issues. A lot of people thought you got leprosy by touching somebody. It's not really how you get leprosy. Leprosy's pretty much been eradicated. But back then, leprosy was fairly common. And if you were a leper, you were unclean yourself. So the people were eating unclean animals, and the lepers were unclean. They sat out at the gate of the city. And so it was a bad time to be a Jewish person in Samaria. It was even worse to be a leper. Because when things were good, you got kind of scraps coming in, you know, people come out, maybe be a little merciful on you, give you some coins, give you some food, but that was all dried up. So these lepers were sitting at the gate, and they had leprosy, but they could rationalize pretty well, right? Because they said, "Hey, listen, what are we doing here, man? We got to make something happen. We're just sitting here. If we go into the city, we'll die. If we stay here, we're going to die. So what's our option? Let's go over to the Syrians and let's go, 'Hey, we're here. Do what you want. You're either going to feed us or kill us. It's okay, because if we stayed here, we're going to die anyway.'" So that's what happens. They go to the camp of the Assyrians, courageous as they were to do that. So let's see what happens when they do that. Well, we'll find out that God is a big God. And when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel is hired against us, the kings of the Hittites, which were in the north, and the kings of Egypt, which were in the south, to come against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and they fled for their lives. All right, think about this, right? The camp is surrounded by warriors from Syria. Courageous men surrounded this camp. God had them hear the sound of rushing chariots and horses, that they fled for their lives and left everything behind. Everything. It wasn't like, hey, let me go back and get this. No, they just ran. They just took off. Great day, right? Great day. Hey, God did a great miracle. And so what happens next? They fled for their lives. These guys who came in who were lepers, expecting possibly to die. What happens? It says this, and when the lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank and carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another camp, a tent, and carried off things from it and went and hid them. Great news! This is amazing! So they were going into this camp. At dusk, they're like, hey, man, this is great. Nobody's here. What in the world has happened? They must have been like euphoric. And so they go in and they eat and drink. Have you ever eaten so much that you're just like, what am I doing? Right? Have you ever done that? I used to wrestle in high school. And some days I would starve myself, like starve myself to make weight. And then I would go home after, like, we had like a midday match. And I would have like a box of like Lucky Charms and like a gallon of milk. And I would just eat. And I would just eat till I'd be like, man, I can't eat anymore. Eat some more. And I'd be like, why did I do this, man? These guys probably were just so stuffed, but they kept eating and drinking because they haven't done it. This is amazing. And what did they do with the stuff? They hid it, right? Let's hide this stuff. We want to keep this stuff to ourselves. We want to keep it to ourselves. And then they went into another camp and tent and found more stuff. And they're like, let's hide some more. Yay! This is great. This is amazing. You know, I look at these lepers sometimes like us as believers, right? And we enter into God's kingdom not by anything that we have done. And we are given over to God's riches that he bestows upon us as believers. We go from lost and destined for eternity in hell to a kingdom where we're restored in our relationship to God and eternal life with him forever and ever. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we do, but according to his mercy, he saved us. These lepers went in there. They were the lowest of lowest, the unclean, just like we are as believers, and yet they came into all these riches. They didn't have anything to do with it, but it was a miracle from God. And I think sometimes we can be like those lepers spiritually. You know, we go like, I'm saved. Nice. I'm going to church. Great. I go to youth group. I go to the small group. I do all this kind of stuff. We go, this is great. This is great. Yeah, cool. We kind of go like, I'm going to hide all this stuff to myself. I'm going to keep it to myself. You know, I was talking to a student last week, and a very new Christian. And he was talking about the tent. What is it in the Jewish ceremony this last week? What do they call it? You guys know? It begins with an SH. You may know that. What is the tent? What is the set up a tent? Anyway, yes, thank you. Say that again. That's it. Thank you. You're holding back. I knew you knew. Okay. Anyway, so he's telling us about this, how he heard it in church. But how he related to it was like totally not even accurate. Like, he's like, yeah, the people walked around in the desert for 40 days and they set up a tent. And I'm like, no. It's like, no, it's like 40 years, man. It's like, and this is in the desert. And after this whole kind of stuff, he was like, He was saved, but his spiritual understanding and knowing God's word wasn't there at all. And the things that I took for granted and that we take for granted growing up in a church, the lost world knows nothing about. And it's kind of like this, you know, we can take in stuff. I learned the books of a Bible to a song when I was in kindergarten, and I can still sing that song today. The world doesn't know any of that stuff, right? But we take it for granted, the riches that we have in God. We can be, and I can be a lot like these lepers here too. eat, drink, and be merry of all the spiritual blessings that God pours out upon us. But let's continue the story. Let's continue the story. So, then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household." What did they say? They said to one another, "We are not doing right, for this is a day of good news." Can you think of any scripture, maybe in the New Testament, that talks about good news? Maybe from an angel in like Luke chapter 2. What does the angel say? If you remember the story, it says, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy." Good news. Now here with the lepers, it was just a physical blessing of food and riches and drink. With us as believers, the angel says, "I bring you good news." The gospel, the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the good news of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The word evangel, as evangelist, means good news. Did you know that there aren't any other religions that can be evangelists or can evangelize? You may say, what about Mormons? What about Jehovah's Witnesses? What about all these other religions, Muslims, or all these kind of things? Don't they evangelize? No, because they don't have good news. Every other religion on the planet has bad news. What does it say? Do certain things. You can get to the desired result, whatever it is, your own planet when you die, all this kind of stuff. It's you can do it. If you keep working at it, if you keep trying, if you keep striving, and at the end of the day, every other religion basically says this, but you won't know if you've done enough till you're dead. I was once talking to a sister from the Mormon church, and the guys are called elders, and the ladies who are called sisters. And so she's going out, proselytizing, thinking she's evangelizing. And I'm talking to her, and I'm talking about the surety of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And she said, "I wish I had that." She says, "Every night I go to bed asking myself, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough?" Wow. Talk about bad news. Have I done enough? With these lepers, they didn't do anything except go, submit, and say, "We're here. We're here." And you know, as we as believers, that's what we do. We say, we have nothing. We have nothing to give, nothing to bargain with God. But we can come and we can be saved by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, just like these guys here, do we have good news? You know, it's okay to eat and drink and stuff like that. But these guys said, this is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait till morning, some punishment will overcome us. If we are silent. Brothers and sisters, I know sharing your faith isn't necessarily the most easy thing to do on the planet. And there's many ways that this church and you can share your faith through even others, like our ministry, Waves Campus Ministries. Through your giving and through your prayers, you allow me and others on our staff and volunteers to go on the college campuses of Miami-Dade College, and also we just started at Florida Memorial University, and share the good news of Jesus Christ. I was out on Friday at an event there, and I had 7 people in front of me that I shared Jesus Christ with right there. They weren't captive. They were coming there. I was allowed to share my faith with them right on the college campus. All at one time. And see, that's us coming together through your prayers, your giving, and me going. That works. But God also wants each one of us to be involved in going out with the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of easy for me because people expect it of me. Crystal knows we have like prayer stations set up. We have questions that say like, what happens when we die? Students come over. It's kind of easy. It's not so easy for you guys in the everyday world, in the business world, in the school world. But you know what? God can use you too. God can use you too. It's not just for the vocational missionaries. It's not just for the pastors. It's for every one of us to be involved in the joy of sharing our faith. So, I want to continue reading. How is that received? How is the good news received? All right? You would think when these guys went back to Samaria, it'd be like, yeah, this is great. But what's the very first thing that happens? Sharing the good news. Is it a trap? It's a trap. And so, they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city. They went back to the gate. They were at the gate and said and told them, we have come to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no one to be seen or heard there, nothing but the horses tied and the donkeys tied and the tents as they were. Then the gatekeepers called out, then the gatekeepers called out, and it was told to the king's household. And the king arose in the night and said to his servants, I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. They know that we're hungry. This is just a trap. This is just a trap. You know, those guys who went back, they're probably like, this is going to be great. But now all of a sudden they're being questioned. I don't know about this. You know, brother and sister in Christ, when you go to share your faith, not everyone's going to get saved right away. We're called to share our faith. The Holy Spirit does the saving, but we're called to share. These guys went back, and even though the initial results weren't great, this is great, they're like, And you know, it's okay for people that you talk to be a little bit skeptical, right? Because they hear different religions, and it's okay for them to be a little skeptical. It's okay for them to have some questions. But understand, when we talk to people about Jesus and they reject him, at least initially, they're not the enemy. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that they're not the enemy. They've been taken captive by the enemy. You know, when Jesus looked out on the masses when he fed the 5,000, he says he saw the masses and he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Family in Jesus, when we look out on people who reject Jesus or people who may be difficult at work for whatever reason, I want to encourage us to look out to them with the eyes of Jesus and have compassion on them. And understand that they're not the enemy, but have been taken captive by their enemy and by the enemy. And we need to pray, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy, that they need to come to their senses because they've been taken captive. Have anyone here been knocked out before? Anybody? Okay, all right. Now, if you ever watch, you know, we don't have time to go into your story. Is it a short story? Go ahead, good. Sure. Played football. Okay, played football. And you were laying down, right? Knocked out. How did they, did you come to your senses on your own? Okay, exactly. If you ever write like fights and stuff, usually they have some smelling salts or ammonia and they put it under your nose and you see people going like, you know, they come to their senses. People without Jesus are walking around in spiritual darkness and they are being like unconscious to the spiritual things that we know. And as we pray, as we share Jesus with compassion and love, even though they may be rejecting at first and even nasty at first, we need to pray and that God would grant them repentance and they would come to their senses. They would have that spiritual smelling salt over the in their nose. They would have the blinders taken off their eyes so they could see Jesus. So, how did I get back to that? Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped the wrong way. You guys should have stopped me. Let's see, guys. We came to the edge of the camp. Okay, the lepers in the camp hid them. They have good news. All right. Somehow we went backwards. You guys should have said something. Was I backwards the whole time? No? Okay. All right. Okay. Somehow I'm just hitting this. Okay. All right. So, what does the king say? These guys say, see for yourself. So what does the king do? He says, therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking, when they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants said, let us take some men, take five of the remaining horses and see those who have left here and fare like the whole multitude of Israel who have already perished. Let us send and see. So they took two horsemen, and the king sent them after the army of the Syrians, saying, go and see. So they went after them as far as the Jordan, and behold, all the way was littered with garments and equipment of the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. So Samaria was just on the west side of the Jordan River. On the other side was Syria. So they sent out these servants, and they came past the camp, and they kept going. And all they saw along the way, all the way to the other side, is just guys throwing stuff out, man. They were so afraid. And they ran. But they went, and they saw for themselves. You know, that's what people need to see many times these days. They need to see for themselves. They need to see for themselves. Not just in God's opening their eyes, but also in us. They need to see an example of Jesus Christ in us. How are we different? You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And we want to encourage people to see for yourself, to examine this for yourself. Taste and see. It's kind of like being in a dark room and the switch comes on. Initially, you're not going to be like, oh, thank you for turning on the light. You're going to be, get the light out of my eyes. And that's the way how it is with many lost people. When they've been wandering around in darkness their whole lives and you come in with spiritual light, the initial response may be, get it out of my eyes. But as their eyes adjust, as their eyes see, they can be just like these people here. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and plundered the camp of the Syrians. And so a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. In other words, really nice stuff, really cheap. Now the king had appointed a captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge over the gate. The same guy who came to execute Elisha, right? So, charge of the gate. And the people trampled him in the gate so that he died as the man of God had said when the king came down to him. You know, we used to have something, and we still have something now called Black Friday, right? The day after Thanksgiving. A lot of stores are kind of like easing that a little bit, you know, maybe having Black Friday before, not having the sales so much, because it used to be, you know, like from a certain small period of time, really cheap. And so what started happening? Chaos at Walmart, right? Have you seen the videos? Like the Walmart trampling people? Crazy stuff, right? Grabbing stuff. It was kind of like that. They're like, hey, the stuff's over there. Walmart's open. You know, and they crushed the same guy at the gate, just like God said would happen through the prophet Elisha. I'll finish with this last passage. For when the man of God had said to the king, two seahs of barley would sell for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel, about this time tomorrow in the gate of Samaria, the captain had answered the man of God, and if God himself should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him at the gate, and he died. This is the day of good news. This is the day of good news. There's tons of bad news, again, all around us. But we have good news in Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest news. You know, we could have a table set up. Somehow, maybe we could do some work in the property. Maybe we start digging out on the parking lot. And as we're digging, we found this enormous, just enormous vein of gold. And so we tapped into the gold, we made little gold bricks, and we set them out on the table. Now, you may be wondering, like, how much should we sell the gold to everybody for? You know, but one of the spiritual people here says, we should just give the gold away. We found it. And then, you know, of course, the elders and the pastor got together and said, well, maybe we should pray about that a little longer. We could use a new building, this, that, and the other thing. But we all decide together we're going to give away that gold. So you set it out on the corner, and you had free gold. Wouldn't that be exciting? Would you be a part of the free gold giveaway? Would you tell your friends at work, hey, CBC, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, free gold giveaway. Free gold. You'd have your skeptics. Nah, I can't do that. Free gold giveaway. You'd have the news crews coming in, right? Free gold. Look at the love that CBC has for the community. They're giving away free gold. What does the Bible say? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet loses his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to put us on a guilt trip today. I'm trying to get you excited about the good news that each one of us has in Jesus Christ. Not something we earn or deserve, just like those lepers, but according to God's mercy, he saved us, and we have that good news. You know, if we even were giving out gold bricks, however valuable they are here, but useless they are for eternity, if we were giving out gold bricks, eventually the supply of gold would dry up. The great thing about sharing Jesus is you give away Jesus, somebody gets Jesus, and guess what? You still have Jesus. It doesn't get any better than that, right? You can give away Jesus to as many people want, and you still have Jesus. Talk about great news. So I want to encourage you, not just for the rest of this month, but for the rest of our lives, being looking out, why am I here? Why am I ultimately here? Yes, to have a job, to feed my family, to go to school, to be a this, that, the other thing. Yes. But the bigger picture, the bigger vision is to see people come to Jesus Christ and God's kingdom be advanced. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge that we can take from your word today. Lord, we thank you that God's calling on each one of us is a privilege and it's exciting. Lord, help us to take advantage of what you've done for us and what you want to do through us. Lord, I pray that you would give to our minds, even now, people we know that don't know Jesus. And Lord, help us to begin the process of praying for them, that their spiritual eyes would be open, that they would see the truth. And Lord, we pray that we would pray that you would give us opportunities to share, that you would open up the doors at your time and in your way that we could share. Lord, we know that you work together with us through our prayers, and we pray that you would answer our prayers, Lord. Lord, your word says that you are not willing that any should perish, no, not one. And we just claim that over our friends and our family and our coworkers and the people we go to school with. Lord, we claim that all those people, Lord, you're not willing that any of them should perish. Lord, use us to see them come to Christ. Lord, use us and excite us about the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, just like these lepers went back and they were excited. They said, hey, we found where the food is. Lord, help us to have that same excitement when it comes to sharing the spiritual food of Jesus Christ with others. And with every head bowed, eyes closed, I just want to pray for anybody here who does not have that good news of Jesus Christ. If the things I'm talking about are kind of foreign today, you're not really sure if you have the good news of Jesus Christ in you, just between me and you, if you just kind of look up, maybe make some eye contact with me. I just want to pray with you. I'll be up here at the end of the service. You can talk to me. Lord, and for anybody who did look this way, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we give this worship time to you as we have this time of worship and response to your word. Lord, I pray that we would be praying And you would see, just kind of inspire us as to where you, how you'd want us to use this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our sisters, and join me in singing our good news. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great. How great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end.